Amen. Are you ready for the word today?
Yes.
I know we got a lot of stuff, but that's what church is about, a lot of stuff. Amen. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, we open up our hearts and ears to see you in it. Father, we thank you that you lead us and guide us today, every word, every step of the way. Amen.
Amen.
Well, turn with me this morning to Matthew chapter 22. We've been talking about rediscovering and renewing our vision, right? And focus, purpose around here, right? How many of you learned anything these past few weeks? This is part six of this series, and we're going to wind things up today. We're really not finished with it, but you just kind of have to unhook because it could just keep going and going and going and going and be the series that never ends. But we'll make it end today. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. NLT, it says, Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." And if you remember, we've been learning about what? The five purposes of the church, or the purposes why a church exists. Can anybody tell me those? What was the first one? For worship. For worship. Loving God, right? Amen. What does worship mean? Anybody remember what worship means? Worship means to love extravagantly and what? And extreme submission. Amen. Love extravagantly and extreme submission. And the second purpose was for what? For ministry or loving others. Third purpose was for what? Evangelism. That's the one we've been talking about. We're going to talk a little bit more about that today. And the fourth one was for what? Baptism, right? Not just the whole act of water baptism, but baptism meaning being baptized into a family, a place to belong, fellowship, right? And the fifth purpose was what? Discipleship or teaching, growing up, right? Now look at Matthew chapter 16 as we focus in here a bit more on evangelism. Excuse me, Mark chapter 16. Man, I was doing that Wednesday, wasn't I? Telling everybody the wrong scriptures. Mark chapter 16, we'll get it right. Mark 16, verse 15. It says, "And then he told them, go into all the world and preach." What does preach mean? Anybody remember? Preach means to tell or announce, right? To tell or announce. Everybody has been called to tell and announce the good news of Jesus. It's not just put on reserve for those who stand behind the pulpit. So it says, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed." Now, just as the Father sent our elder brother Jesus into the world, and just as our elder Jesus was sent into the world, he sent his disciples into the world, and just as his disciples were sent into the world, we have been sent into the world because we are his disciples as well, right?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. So the Lord is sending us into the world today. No, he's not sending us into the world to die for the sins of the world, because Jesus already did that, right? Last week, we talked about learning to share. You remember that?
Yeah.
Learning to share, sharing Jesus with others. This week, we're going to kind of continue along those same lines, but in particular, I want to talk to you about focusing on the harvest. Jesus was consumed with the harvest. Amen? He focused on the harvest. And, you know, the Lord has been renewing our purpose here at Faith Family Maui, kind of redefining a few things and helping us move forward and progress in the plan of God. It's kind of like this. It's kind of like he's rebirthing us as a ministry.
Amen.
Amen. He makes all things new.
Amen.
Amen. He is renewing things. He specializes in renewing. Amen. I love that. Amen. He's given us fresh strategies. He's given us new ideas and concepts, new methods even. Some of these we've talked about already. And some of these are still forthcoming that we haven't been able to talk about them publicly yet, but we will talk about them. We've got a staff meeting tonight with all of our staff. We'll talk about a few of the things. We can't even get into everything with the whole staff yet because there's just so much that he's saying and doing. Aren't you excited about that? Amen. Amen. The purpose that the Lord has birthed in our hearts as a church is what? Healing hearts and restoring broken lives. Healing hearts and restoring broken lives. This is something that Jesus did, right? This was his main thrust for coming into the world, to come and to heal hearts, amen, and to restore broken lives. And by doing so, he destroyed the works of the devil, amen. And we are fashioning ourselves as a church, corporately, individually, after this very same purpose that Jesus demonstrated when he walked on this planet. Amen? So let me ask you again, what is our purpose of Faith Family Maui? Healing hearts. Healing hearts. Yeah, can we say that again? I just love the sound of that. Healing hearts and restoring broken lives. That's what we're all about. Amen? Well, how are we going to do that? Well, first of all, we need to realize that this purpose is not just for us corporately. And this is where a lot of people miss it. Because they began to put the pressure on the church corporation or the church as a whole, or trying to put all the pressure upon the pastor for these things. Amen? When we need to realize this, that when we do this individually as the church, then corporately the church will do it. Amen? It starts on an individual level. Going into all the world is not just something that we do as a whole, but it's something that we must do on an individual level first. Then when we come together personally, we can do things a whole lot more effectively because all of us are putting our strength and all of us are putting our energies together, right? Yes. Amen? Amen? And so we need to tweak our focus a little bit because sometimes we can be so quick to put judgment against the church for, well, they don't do this and they don't do that. Well, the reason why they don't do this and the reason why they don't do that is because you don't do that and you don't do this. Amen. Hello? Amen. Amen? So let's get it together. Amen. So this is for everybody. Can you say everybody?
Everybody.
Amen. As pastor and with the help of the Holy Spirit, I am mobilizing you, amen, to begin to focus on the harvest of people that's before us every day of our lives, amen. You don't have to go to the South Pacific, which we will be there in, I don't know, in a couple of weeks or so. You can go to Kahului. You can go to Wailuku, amen. Everywhere. This is our world. This is your world. Amen. And so our purpose is to go and to help bring healing and restoration to lives, healing hearts, right? Restoring broken lives to these people that are around us every single day. Amen. Amen. Every day you have people in front of you. Amen. Amen. So many times we try to look beyond the ones that are in front of us to see somebody else that's out here. When you have people that are right in front of you, your very own friends, very own family members that need to hear what you've got to say. Amen. So your purpose then is to be a friend to them and to bring them to our church family. Amen. Help bring them into what the Lord is saying and doing among us. And then have them duplicated and go out and do the same thing. Right? Well, pastor, where are we going to put all these people? I have no earthly idea. I got some heavenly ideas. Amen. We don't have very much room in here today. Almost every seat is filled. So what are we going to do with all these people? We'll figure it out. That is a good problem. Amen. I like those kind of problems. Don't you like those problems? Amen. Matthew chapter 9. Jesus focused on the harvest everywhere he went. Well, how did he focus on the harvest? Did he go around condemning people? No. What did he do? He went around loving people. He went around healing hearts, speaking into hearts, right? He went around restoring lives that were broken. That's what he did. Matthew chapter 9. I want us to look in verse 35 from the New Living Translation. Matthew 9:35. We'll read down to verse 38. It says, Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area. Notice that. Teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless. They had a lot of questions, in other words, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his field." Amen. Now listen to this out of the Message. This is from the Message Bible, verse 35. It says, "And Jesus made a circuit of all the towns and villages." In other words, there was an area that he went to continually. What is a circuit? It's like a circle. A circuit, right? A circle. So this was an area that he went to more than once. He made a circuit of these places, right? Amen? And so he made a circuit of all the towns and villages. He taught in their meeting places, reported kingdom news, and healed their diseased bodies, healed their bruised and hurt lives. Wow. Amen. That just so gets me right in here in my heart and spirit. That's what we have been called to do, to follow his example. Amen. That's what you have been called to do. That's what I have been called to do, all of us together. Amen. Verse 36, it says, when he looked out over the crowds, it says his heart broke. So confused and aimless they were, like sheep with no shepherd. Verse 37, he said, "What a huge harvest," he said to his disciples. "How few workers." Verse 38 says, "On your knees and pray for harvest hands." Amen. Jesus said that the harvest is huge. Amen. It's huge. Amen. That's what he said. It's so huge that he needs help out there in the harvest field of the world to be what? What did it say? His harvest hands. Amen. His harvest hands. You need to look at your hands. These are harvest hands. Amen. They were given you for a purpose and reason. For the harvest. They are harvest hands. Amen. And these harvest hands need to be out there in the harvest doing what? Doing what Jesus did with his hands. Amen. What did he do? Healed diseased bodies. Right? He healed hearts. He restored broken lives with these hands. Amen. His mouth was a hand in one sense. Amen. The church is the harvest hands of Jesus in the earth. Let me say that again. Who's the church? The church is the harvest hands of Jesus in the earth. And it's time that we mobilize each and every church family member to begin to reach out on this island that is in need of a Savior. Amen. All of us need to do that. As a church family, we need to understand this. Focusing on the huge harvest that is before us, we're not looking for recycled sheep from other churches. Amen. We aren't looking for recycled sheep. What is a recycled sheep? Huh? Well, it's sheep that, sheep used to come to this church. Now they've been recycled because the other pastor pulled them over to the other church, or they decided to jump the fence and go to the other church. That's a recycled sheep. Then after a while, they decide to go somewhere else. What's going on here? It's just a recycled sheep. Amen. Well, they don't come to this church anymore because they go to another church. Well, bless them. Amen. But I'm not looking for more recycled sheep. Amen. I was having a conversation with a pastor friend just, not too long ago about all of this. Actually, Pastor Morocco. Anybody know who Pastor Morocco is? Amen. 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 Pretty cool guy. We were talking about this just a few weeks ago, not too long ago. And he starts laughing. He says, you know, he says, Wayne, I get some of your church members. And he just kind of smiles at me. He said, but I know you got some of mine. He said, it's kind of like this. He said, it's kind of like these fish. Every once in a while, they change aquariums, but it's the same fish. He said, they come and tell me. He said, Pastor, I'm going over to Pastor Wayne's church. He said, okay, go ahead. He said, now, then you have people leave your church and go over to my church. He said, I used to go over there, Faith Family, and now I'm over here. He said, well, praise God. He said, but we're really not focused on all of these people. Amen. And they're important. They do need to be in church. But we need to be focused not on recycled sheep or from fish that are going from tank to tank. Changing tanks. Amen. The fish need to stay in one tank, stay in one place, and get the job done. Amen. And begin to focus on the harvest that's before us. Are you here today? Amen. There is a huge harvest that is out there waiting for you and I. You know, recycling is fine when it comes to plastic bottles. You know, you can put high five on there and get a nickel every time you turn one in. We could probably make a lot of money if we did that with sheep, when you think about it. We need a recycling. No, just messing. Amen? We are looking for people that haven't been reached before. We are looking for people that are hungry for the love of God in their lives. Maybe they don't know it yet, but they are hungry. This is exactly what Jesus did. And this is the example that he set before us and an example that every believer needs to follow as well. Jesus didn't focus. Listen to me now. Jesus didn't focus on the religious people of his day. He focused on the sinner. Amen. Not to condemn them, but to show them his grace, to show them his love. Right? Now I want to show you some things. Turn with me to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. I don't intend to keep you too long, but I do want to show you a few things in here. Luke chapter 5. You know, sin is the fountain from which all sickness and all disease flows or originates out of. Sin is a spiritual disease which births physical disease. Do you hear what I said? Sin is a spiritual disease which births physical disease. And in order to be free from physical disease, we must know of the Lord's willingness to heal us spiritually as well as physically. Vice versa. We can interchange the two here. So I want us to look at something here in Luke chapter 5. The Lord began to talk to me about this. And let's pick it up here in verse 12. We'll read down through the rest of the chapter. In one of the villages, Jesus met a man with an advanced case of leprosy. Notice that. It doesn't say just that he had leprosy. It said it was an advanced case. You know, I got to thinking about this, and so I began to look a few things up about leprosy. The first thing that comes to mind about leprosy, you know, we all know about, Molokai and everything over there. But the first thing that comes up about leprosy was that, well, you begin to look at, you know, nubby fingers and ears and faces being all distorted, and you think, well, that's leprosy. But you realize that is just an outward manifestation of leprosy. The leprosy, the disease, is actually something that is internal. And then it'll manifest by affecting the skin. And actually, this is kind of interesting, that the leprosy that is in a person, it will eat and destroy the cartilage. So that's what causes things to do what it does. And then, you know, fingers falling off and all of that. Leprosy doesn't necessarily do that. But all of that happens because of secondary infections that take place. It's interesting. Yep. Amen. But it was interesting to me that leprosy was something that was internal. But it says here that Jesus, he met a man with an advanced case of leprosy. That means something. It wasn't just something that was internal. It was like all over him, right? Things, bad things were happening. You could see it all over him, right? It says, when the man saw Jesus, he bowed with his face to the ground. Wow. Amen. Begging to be healed. Lord, he said, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. Now, notice what he said. He was conscious of the fact that he was eaten up with disease, right? He knew how unclean that he was. It was against the law, so to speak, against the religious law, for Jesus to even touch this man. But I believe he touched him. One translation actually says that he touched him. So he broke the law, Jesus did, when he reached out and he even touched this man. Right? So that's what it says here in verse 13. Jesus reached out and touched him. He said, I am willing. Isn't that cool? Now remember, all disease, all physical disease, is an outgrowth or springs out of spiritual disease or sin. Or it came into existence because of sin. The original sin. Amen? It doesn't mean necessarily if something goes wrong in your body that you sinned. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. Okay? But disease is in the earth because of that original sin. Right? Jesus reached out and touched them. He said, I am willing. He said, be healed. Amen. Be healed. And instantly, the leprosy disappeared. Well, that's interesting. Well, the leprosy was, you know, it started internally, right? But we saw the effects of it outwardly. Jesus specializes in healing our hearts. He specializes in healing internal things. Amen. That affect external things. And so many times we're only focused on the external when we really need to get to the root of the matter, and that is to heal the internal. Amen. Amen. You get the internal healed. External will follow suit. Amen. Oh, isn't that good? And instantly the leprosy disappeared. Then Jesus instructed him not to tell anyone what had happened. He said, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed. That's so cool. But despite Jesus' instructions, the report of his power spread even faster, and vast crowds came to hear him preach, right? And to be healed of their diseases. Now notice that. Vast crowds followed Jesus. They came to hear him teach. And they came to be healed. Amen. They weren't. Now I'm sure some people were. But all of them, they weren't just looking for something external. They wanted to hear what the man had to say. In other words, something must have traveled through the coconut wireless that got back to them. Right? Of the good things that Jesus was saying. That he wasn't condemning people. That he wasn't putting them down. Amen. That he was there to love them. That he was there to actually demonstrate and show forth grace on their behalf. Amen. Oh, I love that. Praise God. Verse 16 says, but Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. Verse 17. One day, while Jesus was teaching, some Pharisees and teachers of the religious law. Who are the Pharisees? The Pharisees were the ones that were just totally eat up and consumed with the law. They were self-righteous. Amen. They were a hard nut for Jesus to crack. Why? Because they had so many things in them. Amen. They were doctors of the law. They were doctors of the law. And then Jesus came. He didn't come with a message of the law. He came and he fulfilled the law. But he came with something that they weren't quite used to. Touch a leper? The law says don't do that. So they knew about these things. They saw these things. So you remember here who the Pharisees were. So while Jesus was teaching, some Pharisees and teachers of the religious law were sitting nearby. It seemed that these men showed up from every village in all Galilee and Judea, as well as from Jerusalem, and the Lord's healing power was strongly with Jesus. Wow, sure it was. Amen? Because he was ministering grace. Because he was ministering the love of God. And healing power was with him. Amen. Amen? Not just to heal physical disease and loads of things like that happen, but to begin to address the root of the problem. Yes. Amen. Amen? Sin itself. But he addressed sin in a different way than the religious rulers or the righteous people, self-righteous people, the Pharisees would address it. Amen? Let's keep going here. Verse 18, some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat. Remember, Jesus sitting there teaching, right? And all these Pharisees are around, and all these religious, the specialists of the law, right? They tried to take him inside to Jesus, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. So they went up on the roof and took off some tiles. Then they lowered the sick man on his mat down into the crowd, right in front of Jesus. Verse 20, it says, seeing their faith, Jesus said to the man, young man, your sins are forgiven. Wow. Notice here. Now, the first one, when he first spoke to the leper, and the leper came and said, you know, bowed down before him, bowed his face to the ground, right? What did Jesus tell him when he said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean? What did he say to him? He said, I'm willing. Be healed. Now, there was something a whole lot more that must have transpired. Right? There was something a whole lot more that was communicated and transpired here between the leper and Jesus than what we read about. Because what we read here in this instance of healing here, it says, seeing their faith with the paralyzed man, Jesus said to him, young man, your sins are forgiven. So now Jesus is speaking more freely of the root of the problem. Right? Now he's ministering grace. Right? He didn't tell this man, well, you know, go tell the priest, you know, give this offering for you, or, you know, offer this, and, you know, then take the blood in, put it on the mercy seat, and then I'll forgive you, and then I'll heal you. Right? This is something completely different. This is something, you know, they're not used to hearing. Wow. Amen? He said, young man, your sins are forgiven. But the Pharisees and the teachers of religious laws, they said to themselves, who does he think that he is? We know what the law requires. Right? That's blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. Yeah. They didn't know who he was. They didn't discern who he was because they were so religious minded. Didn't understand some of these things. Amen? Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them, why do you question this in your hearts? Notice that. Why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or stand up and walk? Verse 24, so I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Notice this. I'm going to prove to you that I have authority on earth to forgive sins. And the way that I am forgiving sins here, well, how did he say it here? Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. Amen. By the very act of doing that, see, and the man with leprosy, right? He didn't necessarily word it for word for word that, you know, your sins are forgiven. But that's what he was doing. He was addressing the root of the problem with his grace. Amen? And so, you know, Jesus blatantly told this man, the paralyzed man, you know, son, your sins are forgiven you. And then everybody got upset. But then he took it even a little bit further. And he told him, take up your bed and walk. And I'll prove to you that I have the power to forgive sin. Hallelujah. Oh, this gets me excited. What about you, Gary? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Wow. He's a big man. I can hit him if he wants to. He can handle it. Where are we at? Jesus said to the paralyzed man, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. And immediately, it says, as everyone watched, the man jumped up, picked up his mat, went home, praising God. Everyone was gripped with great wonder and awe, and they praised God, exclaiming, we have seen some amazing things today.
Amen.
Amen. Think about this. If we can't trust Jesus with the healing of our physical bodies, then our trust in his healing ability for our spirits, for our hearts, for the real man on the inside, then that must be a little bit shaky too. I'm just trying to give you a little bit here to think about.
Amen.
Amen. Because we've had such a sin consciousness about things. Amen. My goodness. If we can trust him to redeem us and to save us from a devil's hell, which was never ever created for man in the first place. And if we can trust him with our eternal spirits when we leave this place, well, we can sure trust him with the healing of a physical body. And it's not something that we can do or we can earn in and of ourselves. It's a free gift. Amen. It is a free gift. It is a gift of God. Salvation is not something that we earn. You can never, ever be good enough. And this is the reason why so many people stay away from churches. They don't feel good enough.
Amen.
Amen. Well, if the truth was known, amen, if you really wanted to get down to feelings, none of us really feel good enough in and of ourselves. Amen. But we get a revelation of the grace and of the love of God. Amen. And this is what we must minister. This is what Jesus did. Amen. He didn't go around condemning people. I know you don't feel good enough, but it's not based on how good you feel about this. I'm willing. Amen. He said, I feel good enough. Praise God. Amen. And so we are to take this, you are to take this message into all the world as well. Not to condemn people. Well, if you know, if you quit your smoking, you quit drinking, you quit doing drugs, and maybe you could come to church because then the roof won't cave in and kill everybody. Because you showed up. Huh? No. Come. I guarantee you the roof is not going to cave in. Aren't you glad? Amen. Don't ever run from the master. The master is there to embrace and to receive everybody. It's not about you being good enough. It's about him being good enough. He was good enough. Amen. And he is here to let us know that today, this very day. He's still saying this today. I am willing. Jaime, the sin is forgiven.
Amen.
Whatever you need, take it up and walk. It's yours. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, this is so good, so good, so good. Praise God. So his grace is for both our spirits and our bodies. Amen. There are lots of people out in the world that really don't know a whole lot about Jesus. They may have heard his name. Or then, you know, because they've heard his name, they've heard some ideas about church and different ones saying something about church. Or maybe the church that they went to years ago, they felt so condemned to, you know, going to church. Right? But they need to know how much they're loved. They know that they're living in sin. They know that things aren't quite right. Hello? Amen? They need to know that the Lord loves them. And when you get a revelation of His love and you get a revelation of His grace, that will truly set you free from even wanting to live that way.
That's right.
People struggle with sin and people struggle with these things that they do because they don't know the love and the grace of God. And they need to know. And we have a responsibility as a church to go into all the world, to go into all of this island. Not just corporately, but you have a responsibility here. Amen. And begin to reach out your hands and touch those that view themselves as unclean and say, be clean.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus loves you. Jesus has already forgiven you. Amen. You need to know that.
Amen.
Amen. All you have to do then is to accept His love, accept His grace. Praise God. Oh, isn't that exciting?
Amen.
Amen. Let's keep going here. Verse 27. Later, as Jesus left the town, He saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at his tax collector's booth. Now, this was not a very popular guy. You know that, right? Probably stealing and everything else, a little skimming off the money that came in there, right? And Jesus said, follow me and be my disciple. So Levi got up, left everything, followed him. Later, Levi held a banquet in his home with Jesus as the guest of honor. Many of Levi's fellow tax collectors and other guests also ate with them. But the Pharisees and their teachers of religious law complained bitterly to Jesus' disciples. They didn't have enough guts to go direct to the master. They had to complain to all everybody else. So that's usually what people do. Amen? They just kind of complain around the outskirts, you know, because they don't have enough guts about them to actually go direct to the one. Amen? Complained bitterly to Jesus' disciples, why do you eat and drink with such scum? But I love what Jesus said here. He said, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. Amen. I have come to call not those who think. Remember, we saw can do the self-righteous, right? Pharisees. I have not come, not those who think that they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent. I'm not looking for recycled sheep. Amen. He said this. He said, I haven't come to those that need a doctor, but for sick people, I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent, need to change their attitude, need to change their mind, need to change their direction. I have come to help them change their attitude and change their mind, change their direction, especially in the way that they're thinking about God the Father. Amen. Wow. Amen. This is our responsibility as a church. This is your responsibility as the church. Jesus, I love this. He nailed the religious every time that he could. And he did it with such grace. Amen. I love what he said here again. Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. There are those that are in good health, those that are free from all disease, all wounds, bruises, and, you know, sores, leprosy. They stand in no need of the advice or assistance from a physician or from a surgeon to remove something. But those who have sores, leprosy, disease of all sorts, are the only ones who need the healing touch of the Master. The Pharisees, teachers of the law, religious people, in their own opinion, they were free from the disease of sin. Both original sin of Adam and their actual sin. They were self-righteous. You know, they were living by the law. We are free from this. Sticking with me now, right?
Yes.
At least they were in their own eyes.
That's right.
And that prevented them from receiving the grace of the Master. Amen. They considered themselves as blameless, who stood not in need of Jesus, the great physician, who came not only to heal man's body, but their spirits and souls as well. He came to heal those who were sick with sin. Right? Amen? Who were sick with sin, and those who were sick of the effects of sin. He addressed the whole root of the matter. Oh, I love that about the Master. These were the people that Jesus went to. Now, the other people he loved the Pharisees. Don't misunderstand me. But sometimes we can be just a little bit too smart for our own good. You have to be careful, especially when you come into the kingdom of God. We see this happen so much in churches. Pastors experience this so much. Amen. You bring somebody in, you know, you teach them the word and all of that. Then all of a sudden they become smarter than the teacher. Amen. And that's what the Pharisees were. They had become smarter than Jesus. We have to be careful that we don't ever get to the point where we think that we're smarter. Now, we may not say that. Now, if you were to ask the Pharisees, well, you think you're smarter than God? Well, of course they're not going to say, well, no, I don't think I'm smarter than God. But they were. They thought that they were in their actions and attitudes. They may not have consciously been aware of it, but that's what they were saying. Amen. Oh, this is good. These were the ones with whom Jesus shared his grace, the forgiveness of sin, as well as the effects of sin in the physical body in the form of sickness and disease. Jesus went to the people who were sick. Amen. And he went to the ones who knew they were sick. Right? Not to the ones that understood faith and, bless God, I'm not sick. And you try to help get grace over to them. Hello? He dealt with very little. Those that were on the inside of the church, so to speak. He loved and he taught those that were hungry and that were desirous of such. But his main focus was on the harvest. His main focus were on the lost sheep. When we focus on the harvest like Jesus did, the Lord is able to then build his church. And the reason why we're not affecting people, you're not affecting people. You. All of us. It's because we are ingrown. We think that we're so religious and we think that we are, you know, reaching people and we're doing everything right that we're supposed to do, but it's everybody else. No, no, no. You're the very one I'm talking to. Amen. We've got to open up our eyes. Amen. Because if we were doing everything right, we would never, ever have that type of attitude towards everybody else. We would be there to encourage. Amen. We would be there to spur everybody on, not to put everybody else down and condemn everybody. Am I talking to your heart today? Amen. How many of you ever thought certain things about ministries and pastors and churches and different things? Don't raise your hand. I know you have. Because you're human. But most of the problem, 99.99% of the time, is internal. Who's the church? We are the church. Amen. And I'm glad to be the church. What about you? What is the church to do? Same thing that Jesus did. Heal hearts. Restore broken lives. Not to condemn anybody or to put anybody down, but to help pick them up. Yeah. Then we disciple them. Then we teach them. Right? Now, the sin of a sinner and the sin of a Christian are two different things. Now, sometimes when you do come over into the Christian faith, or you're getting saved, you're getting born again, and then you're in a setting, and then, you know, something you're being confronted with being corrected, then you have to be careful here. That you don't then begin to pull over something that belonged to you, you know, before you got saved. But now that you're saved and now that you're born again, there are times that we need to be reproved.
That's right.
There are times that we need to be corrected. And that is still the grace of God.
Good.
What is that helping us do? That is helping us grow in grace.
Amen.
Not to condemn us, but we feel condemned because we have a sin consciousness. Amen. Wow. Hallelujah. The Lord is never the condemner. You got to remember who the accuser of the brethren is. Amen. Never, ever condemn, you know, another sinner for the way that they live. Don't ever condemn a Christian who sins. Be there to help them, get them back on the right path. Amen? You know this is wrong. Yes, you do. But Jesus loves you. He forgives you of that. You don't have to run and be condemned of this. The Lord can help you get free of that.
Amen.
Then not going around knocking somebody in the head. Well, you know, you stupid, you know. What's wrong with you? Well, I think he knows what's wrong. We're there to help. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to help. How many people want to help?
Amen.
I think we all want to help. If we all searched our heart of hearts, truly searched our heart of hearts. Amen. Praise God. Jesus loved the sinner, didn't he? He didn't love the sin. Don't misunderstand me today. But he did love the sinner. And he was criticized by his own people, by the church, for reaching out to them. Well, you know, it's good to be in the same company of Jesus. If we get criticized for reaching out, you know, to the sinner, those that are down and out, those that need help, then criticize me. Well, that church is just full of, you know, a bunch of people that are, you know, so fleshly and, you know, sometimes they drink, sometimes they smoke. Bring them on. We'll teach them. We'll disciple them. I'd much rather have that than a church full of self-righteous people. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John chapter 3, verse 16. Very, very quickly. And this is how much God loved the world. Message. He gave his son, his one and only son. And this is why. So that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. But I love verse 17. I know I've read this a lot lately. God didn't go into to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point out or to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help to put the world right again. If we ever been sent into all the world, then we are there. He's sending us to go help, not to point accusing fingers. Right? But to help set it right again. Amen. Well, how do I lead somebody to Jesus? How do we do that? Well, we need to know how to do that. Right? We need to know how to lead somebody to the Lord. Well, what if, you know, they're not ready or, you know, I keep feeling like I need to ask them, but, you know, I just don't think. No, quit looking at the outside. Amen? Quit looking at the outside. Remember, there's a harvest before you. You can sense in your spirit and know when somebody is ready to be introduced to the Savior. Be sensitive to your heart. Be sensitive to your spirit. Well, what if it's, you know, the devil telling me? The devil's not going to tell you to pray with them. Well, I'm so scared. Don't be scared. Who you think is making you scared? You haven't been given the spirit of fear. That's not the Holy Spirit. If he scares you out of ministering to somebody, and he's just one, don't let the devil scare you. Amen. People are in need of a Savior. You know, salvation, you know, a lot of times you can overcomplicate things, but I don't like to make salvation very complex for people by bombarding people, sinners especially, that haven't even heard the message of salvation before. I don't like to bombard them with scripture after scripture after scripture to try to make you think or make them think that you're so smart and you're so religious. Kirta said, personally, I like to keep it simple. It's a very simple guideline that you can follow in leading somebody to the Lord. And you'll see this in the back of my recent books. It's under the heading of, Are You Ready for a Change? Are you ready for a change? And I'll give you a little bit of this this morning, but I like to use Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and I really like to use this out of the Message Bible. Amen. And explain to the person that salvation is a free gift. There's nothing that you can do to earn this. This is available to everybody that will receive us. Heaven is a very real place, just like earth is a very real place. And the only way that you can get to heaven is for you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess Jesus as your Lord with your mouth and allow him to take up residence on the inside of your heart and on the inside of your life. So Romans chapter 10, verse 9, this is a verse that I like to use. It's very simple, not complex. It says, say the welcoming word to God. Jesus is my master. Embracing body and soul, God's work of doing in us what he did in raising Jesus from the dead. That's it. You're not doing anything. You're simply calling out to God, trusting him to do it for you. That's salvation. That sums it all up right there. Amen. I know some people have come up with, you know, 14 steps to salvation, and I'm not condemning or I'm not knocking all of that. Don't misunderstand me, right? And maybe we need to know some of those things personally ourselves. But when it comes to sharing the gospel with others and sharing Jesus with others, be simple in your approach. Be real in your approach. Amen. Be loving in your approach, and don't talk down your nose at them. Embrace them and love them. This is something that is said to us on a continual basis all the time. Pastor Robert and I hear this. Wow, and there's just so much love in your church. We hear it continually. I don't know how many times, even from the beginning of this year, that we've heard that. We just love coming there. Well, I'm glad. Amen. That means that somebody must be doing something right, because they're feeling the love. Amen. We want those that are without our walls, on the outside of our walls, to feel the love.
Amen.
Amen. They need to feel the Father's love in and through you. That is a prayer that I prayed this morning. It's a prayer that I pray almost every day. Lord, love your people through me.
Amen.
Amen. And that is something that you should embrace and make your own as well. Lord, love your people through me today. Amen. Oh, it's so simple. So easy. I think we've also got this information on the website as well. It's a very, very simple prayer. I believe it's up on there that you can even pray with people. It's very simple. You don't have to get deep with all of these things, right? It's all there. How many of you have seen the website? We've kind of redesigned the website a little bit. Anybody seen that? It's getting renewed. Raise your hands if you've seen it. Raise your hands if you haven't seen it. That means you need to go look at it. And it's still evolving. It's getting better and better. We even got the pet podcast set up there on a little bit differently. How many think the podcast works a whole lot better? It's easier, isn't it? Yeah. There's even an app now. If you do it on your iPhone, there's an app when you go to the mobile site, then you can click the app thing and actually makes an app on your phone. Then all you got to do is click the app, and it automatically opens up. It's cool. The app says your Faith Family Maui. That's kind of cool. Amen?
Yeah.
Are you here today? And then after you lead somebody to the Lord, it's important that you don't just leave them out there to dry up in the sand, but you invite them to come to church.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now next week, what is next week? It's Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday.
Amen.
Amen. We're maxed out in here today. We're really going to be maxed out next week. Why? Because you're going to bring people with you. Where are we going to put them? I don't know. We'll hang some chairs from the ceiling if we have to, or they can sit in your lap. Amen. They can sit in my lap if we have to. We'll make room. Hallelujah. So invite people this next week. Praise God. I got another little video I want to show to you before I sit down.